Well, I appreciate those songs this morning.
If you don't mind, I'm gonna move this just a little bit. I believe that the words of those songs are true. I believe that the Lord created us to serve Him. I believe that the Lord had a purpose when He created you and I. It wasn't something that was random. It wasn't something that just happened. But He had a purpose in what He did. And I'm thankful this morning for the love of God. That He loved us and He gave Himself for you and I. Appreciate the Lord this morning. The desire and the earnest interest in your prayers, the Lord would help us to be able to deliver the thoughts that He's laid on our heart. But before I get into those, I want to also thank the saints and the Lord for your prayers. Last winter, we weren't able to be here. Had an attack of kidney stones. Before that, my wife had a problem with a blood clot in her leg. It looked very serious for a while. But I appreciate very much what the Lord has done for us. And I appreciate very much the prayers of the saints. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of the family of God.
Amen.
And when you feel the blessings of the Lord and through His people, it makes you feel very humble. Makes you, as the song said, what is man?
Yeah.
That the Lord cares for you and I so much that He comes down and He visits us. We realize that we're still very needy before the Lord. But I can say with all my heart, God has been faithful to us. And I appreciate that and I thank Him for it. Do you know the Lord has been faithful to each one of us, even in this meeting? And I think about how the Lord works. I was praying before the meeting started, as I'm sure each of the ministers were. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, what would You have for the meeting? I didn't want to just come and have a message. I wanted something from the Lord. And I know you realize, and I know the ministers pray this way as well, you want the burden of the meeting. You know, it's amazing to me how the Lord can take. And He can talk to His ministers over different parts of the country from different backgrounds and different personalities. And yet the Lord can take and deal with them. They don't get together. There's no agenda for the meeting. They don't talk back and forth. But I'm always amazed at how God can take and begin to talk to someone over here. And He can talk to someone over here. And it all comes together. And it's the same message. It's from God. Dear ones, that's why we appreciate Holy Spirit leadership. It's wonderful when you see the Lord begin to work. And I think about how He takes feeble man, different types of delivery and different administrations, different depths of knowledge and understanding. Some are very deep in the Scriptures and some are coming to that. I look at some and I think, Lord, will I ever get a hold of it as deeply as what they've got? Well, you pray for me. I'm still trying to get there. But I think how the Lord takes all of that, but it's still. And I don't look at those deliveries. I'm looking at the Spirit of the Lord and how He works. And dear ones, it's important for us to do that. There are things sometimes that we may not understand, may not fully agree with, but when you begin to see the Spirit of the Lord working, that's when it tells me, you better watch. The Lord has got a message for us. And I believe the Lord has had a message for us in this meeting. I told someone I feel like the Lord is doing everything He can to prepare souls and to prepare His church to meet Him.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to talk to us about this morning by the help of the Lord. I want to talk to us about being acceptable in His sight. Dear ones, the enemy of our souls is doing everything he can to convince people to accept something that is less than what God has for them and less than what God expects out of them. As I was praying a little over a week ago, The Lord was giving me this message. He reminded me of a story that Brother James Bell told me. And I'm sure I won't be able to tell it like he tells it. And I probably won't get all the details just right. But I trust you get the point that I'm trying to get out of it. He said that when he was living there in Springfield, Missouri, he was working for a company. And his boss called him one day and he told him, he said, "I want you to go over here and help one of their other co-workers on a job." Brother James went over there, and I believe the man was installing the furnace. And he went over there to help him, and one of the things that the man was doing was he was needing to run a flue vent off of the furnace up through the ceiling and out the roof. And when Brother James got there, the man had it all laid out, and he had it marked on the ceiling where he wanted the hole. And Brother James asked him, he said, "Well, have you checked all that out? Is that where you want that?" He said, "Yep, that's where I want it." And so they got the sawzall, and they began to cut the hole and cut it all out, shoved the pipe up in there. And this was a two-story house. And so Brother James went upstairs to check it out. And when he walked in the man's master bedroom, right there, in maybe not in the middle, but right at the foot of his bed was a hole and a pipe sticking up through it. You say, oh, I can just imagine how he felt. He was like, oh, no. And he went down there and he asked the man, he said, I thought you had that all marked out. He said, do you realize where that pipe's going? Like I said, I won't get it exact. He said, it's going right up through the middle of that man's bedroom. That man went up there and he looked at it and he looked around. He said, that'd be all right. Brother James looked at him and he said, he ain't going to want that pipe going up through his bedroom. He said, it'd be all right. Well, it wasn't Brother James's project or job. There wasn't a whole lot he could say, so they went ahead and worked on the job and finished it and run everything. Later that afternoon, the man came back, and he was walking around and looking things out. Pretty soon he walked upstairs, and I could almost see Brother James cringing. What's he going to say? And pretty soon that man hollered, and he said, "Hey, what's this pipe doing running up through my bedroom?" Well, this man went up there, and he began to talk to him. He said, "Well, that's the flue vent, and we've got to get it up through the roof. But I don't want it in my bedroom." Well, the man began to talk to him, and he began to try to convince him of the benefits of having that pipe run through his bedroom. He said, "Now, in the wintertime when it's cold, that pipe will put off some heat, and it'll help warm your bedroom. But I don't want it in my bedroom." "Well, it's right at the foot of your bed, and it'll help keep your feet warm." Well, he was trying every way that he could to convince that man to accept something that was less than what that man expected. Now, I don't know how it came out. I can't remember whether he finally convinced him to leave it there or the man finally convinced him, "You're going to have to change it." But he was trying his best to convince him to accept something that that man really wasn't expecting in his job. Dear ones, this morning, the devil is very persuasive. And if you and I listen to him very long, he will convince you and I to accept something that is less than what God has for us and less than what God expects out of us. Amen. If you don't believe it, I want to encourage you to go back through the scriptures to Adam and Eve and you look at their story and the account of what happened to them and all down through the time. And look at those who have listened to the enemy as he began to talk to them, and you will see that he is very persuasive. I would like for you to turn with me, if you will, this morning to Romans, the 12th chapter. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Romans, the 12th chapter, and the first and second verse. Apostle Paul said here, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now I want to stop here for just a minute. The Apostle Paul was entreating the people to present themselves unto God in a manner that it was acceptable to him. Not to Paul, but to God. And dear ones, that's my desire this morning. Yes. I would like to entreat each one of us here to present ourselves in a manner that is acceptable unto God. Yes. I thought about Queen Esther when she was thinking about appearing before the king. You know the story. She was there, and Mordecai and the rest of the Jews had a petition that they wanted her to take before the king. And while the petition was a very worthy cause, and it was urgent, there were lives that were at stake. Yes. Queen Esther was not hasty about making the decision to accept that responsibility to take that before the king. Now, you might say, well, why? If lives were at stake, if souls were at stake, then that should be all of the answer that you need, and just go do it. But Queen Esther didn't do that. She didn't just jump up and run before the king with this petition, because she recognized the solemn fact that if she appeared before the king and she was not acceptable before him, that she would be rejected and it would cost her life. Now, dear ones, it wouldn't have benefited the cause, no matter how worthy it was. And it wouldn't have changed the urgency that souls were about to die had she gone and just went ahead and appeared before the king. It wouldn't have benefited that. I'd like to turn over there just a little bit to read some of this. Over here in Esther, this is in the fourth chapter. In Esther, the fourth chapter and the 11th verse, it said, all the kings, and this was Esther speaking, and she said, all the king's servants and the people of the king's providence do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. Queen Esther recognized that it was a serious thing to appear before the king. And dear ones, it's a serious thing for you and I to appear before the king. She didn't take it lightly, and we shouldn't either. Because, dear ones, as she said, it is known by all in the kingdom that if you appear before the king and you're not acceptable, there's one law, and that's death. I believe this morning that every one of us here knows that when we appear before the God of heaven, if we're not acceptable in His sight, there's one law, and that is death. I think about the solemnness of appearing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you and I stand before the King and He finds us acceptable, that's going to be a blessing. Because we'll hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. But dear ones, if we stand before the Lord and we're not acceptable, we're going to have Him look at us and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I know you not. Cast them into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Dear ones, it's a solemn and a serious thing to think about standing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Esther here recognized the seriousness of that. It goes on down in this 16th verse. And she says here, and she was responding to Mordecai. She said, go gather therefore all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat ye nor drink the drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Dear ones, Queen Esther recognized it was a serious thing to appear before the king. She was very serious, and she was very careful about appearing before the king. And dear ones, you and I need to be just as careful. We need to be just as serious about coming before the presence of the Lord as Queen Esther was. Because, dear ones, we're going to take and appear before Him as well. And we're going to have to be just as careful about the things that you and I allow into our hearts and lives, because we're going to take those things with us when we appear before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You might say, well, I'm not going to take this, or I'm not going to take that, and this is a little thing, and God's a big God, and He's got so many things out there. I've heard those proclamations. God is so big, and He's dealing with so many things, He don't even notice these kind of things. Dear ones, the Scripture says that we're going to give an account of the deeds that are done in this body.
Amen.
And we're going to take and we're going to appear before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the books are going to be open, and every deed and every word and everything that you and I have done is going to be there, and it's going to be presented before the King. And it's going to be a solemn thing to stand before Him as He looks over that list, whether He accepts us in His presence or not. I want to ask you this morning, how small a detail does God notice? How small do you notice? How small do you think that the King here noticed? Do you think that the King noticed such small details as how Queen Esther fixed her hair? You say, oh, that's such a small thing. Do you think if she had walked in there and she had cut all of her hair off, or it was spiked in 40 different directions in every color of the rainbow, that she would have noticed, that he would have even noticed? You say, well, the King's got such duties and such things in His kingdom, he don't notice those kind of things. Do you think that He would have noticed what she was wearing? Do you think it would have mattered to the King had she walked in there without her royal robes that He had given to her?
Yeah.
And she had walked in there in her garden clothes? Or she had walked in there in the dress of the common harlot of the day and just appeared cheap? Do you think it would have mattered to the King? Do you think He'd have even noticed? It's pretty obvious when you read the Scriptures that it did matter to the King. Because when you look at Queen Vashti, the queen that was rejected just prior to Queen Esther being made, proclaimed to be the queen, you find where the King was very concerned about how the people saw his bride, wasn't he? He wanted her to come and appear before the people that they could all look upon her and behold the beauty of his queen. Now, we know why she was queen no longer, because she disobeyed. And you know, it was very apparent that it mattered to the King whether she was obedient, wasn't it? And it mattered to the others in the kingdom, and that's why they said she shall be queen no longer. It was apparent and obvious that it mattered to the King how his queen looked. Dear ones, it's going to matter to God. Do you know that we are the bride of Christ, the church is? Don't you know that God is very concerned about you and I as His children and how that the world looks upon us? It's obvious that God placed much detail in the Scriptures, and He tried His best to let us know. He has given to you and I the robes of righteousness. He has given to us the beauty of holiness, and He wants all the world to be able to see that. And you say, oh, but they don't notice such little detail. I was at work just recently and took our little granddaughter up there. As you know, she's pretty special to us. And they wanted to see her there. I'd probably been talking about her a little bit. And so they kept saying, you need to bring her. And so we brought her up there. And I was carrying her up there in the carrier and had a little blanket over her. All it was showing was her head and right up here. And when I carried her in there, do you know what one of the first things that those women did? And they all got around and they were looking. The first thing they did is they reached over there and they pulled that blanket off and they looked at her dress and they looked at her shoes and they looked at her sock and they noticed every detail. And I thought, I couldn't tell you today what she was wearing. But it was important to them. And they talked about it. And later on, and they were saying this and that. I couldn't have told you what she had. But it was important to them, and they were looking at all of those things. Now you say the world doesn't notice. Dear ones, the Lord knows that there are people. I may not notice something that you notice, and you may not notice something that I notice, but dear ones, God notices, and He knows what every soul is looking at, and He is very concerned that the people of God present the image of holiness and purity before the world. He wants the world to see a beautiful bride that is not just, I'm not talking outward, I'm talking a bride that is pure and holy And that when the world looks upon it, they can say, now that's the people of God. I was there just this past week at work, and I was on the phone with one of the other people there. I have just a business relationship, not real close with him. And he was talking to me, and we kind of got off on something else. He was talking about his rental properties, and he said something. He said, now, I know you're a very religious person. And I thought, okay. I don't ever recall ever talking to him about anything about religion. And I thought, now, how did he know that? Who's been talking? And he said, I know you're a very religious person. And he said, and my wife and I are religious, but he said, we rented a house in Oklahoma City, and he said, we rented it to a preacher, and he said, they're the worst kind. And I thought, I wonder if he knows I'm a preacher. And he said, they're the worst kind. He said, he stole from me. He tore up everything in the house. And he was going, and he said, now when people begin to talk to us about we need to rent that house to them because they're a religious person, he said, my wife and I have gotten to where we just shy away from that. Dear ones, do you think it matters to God how the world is looking at His church? Lord, help us. I looked at that and I thought, oh my God. What is the Lord looking at? He wants the world to see the beauty of holiness. He wants them to see a life that is consistent in every format with the Word of God. He doesn't want people to look at that and say, they're the worst kind. I've heard people say it many times in business. When I hear people say something about being religious, they say, I try to walk away. Do you know why? It's because people have taken the stand that it really doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. It's not important to God about these things. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it is very important to God how the bride of Christ is presented to the world. It is a serious thing, dear ones, to stand before the God of heaven. I thought about King Saul of old. Had King Saul not forgotten what a serious matter it was to stand before the God of heaven? And no doubt, they wouldn't have heard the lowing of the oxen and the bleating of the sheep when he stood before the servant of the Lord. But he did. And as a result, he was rejected by God. Dear ones, I'm afraid this morning that there are a lot of people in our world who are raising their hands in a profession and saying, I have done the will of God just like Saul did. And all the time in the background, there's the lowing of the oxen and the bleating of the sheep. There's families that are crying because parents have not been to them what God requires in His Word. There are husbands and wives that are crying before the Lord because my husband or my wife is not being faithful or he's not being according to the standard of holiness that God has required in His Word. And all the time they've got a profession, I've done, just like Saul, I have done the will of God. And the blowing of the ox and the bleating of the sheep are in the background. Dear ones, it's a serious matter to stand before the God of heaven. I thought about Ananias and Sapphira. Had they not allowed greed to get down in their hearts to the point to where they forgot what a serious matter it is to stand before God? No doubt they would not have lied to the disciples of the Lord about the price of the possession that they had. But they did, and so it cost them their lives.
Yes.
Oh, dear ones, I believe this morning that there's a lot of people that are holding back on God. That have said, I have given my all to God, and yet the flesh is holding back a little bit over here for itself. The Lord has put His finger on something, and they said, Lord, that really don't matter. I really don't have that in my heart. And that really, I've given my all to You. And all the time, the flesh is pulling something back for itself. There's souls that are saying, the Lord is coming by and saying, hey, what is this right here that I see? Oh, Lord, I really didn't mean that. I was just teasing them. And all the time there's jealousy and envy and hatred and bitterness. What they did to me that's down in my heart. And they're saying, Lord, it's really not down there. I didn't really mean all that. They're holding back part of the price. Dear ones, it's going to be a serious matter to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I think about Judas. Had Judas not allowed all the things of this world to become so important to him, no doubt he wouldn't have become offended so easily. But he did. And as a result, You know what Judas did? He betrayed his Lord and Savior for 30 pieces of silver. And it cost him his life. Dear ones, it's amazing to me how cheaply souls are selling out to the enemy. Don't you know that the enemy would have taken, Satan would have taken and given all the kingdoms of the earth and all the glory of that for Christ? And Judas sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Don't you know, dear ones, that the enemy would like to gain your soul no matter what it cost him? And yet people are selling out to the enemy for something so minute. A little attitude. A little unforgiveness. A little pride. A little bitterness. A few moments of pleasure. A little here and a little trinket here or a little trinket there. And the enemy would give the whole world for your soul. And they sold it out for something so trivial. It's amazing to me how persuasive the enemy of our souls is. Dear ones, if you don't believe it, if you listen to him very long, he will convince you to accept something that is less than what God has for you and less than what he's expecting out of you. I look at this. Dear ones, the Lord wants you and I to give our all to him. The Lord wants us to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. Go back over here to Romans. The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you that you present your soul. Didn't say that, did he? I beg of you that you present your bodies. Sometimes it seems like the devil convinces people that they can get saved and they can take their soul and put it in a little glass jar and seal the lid and they can go on and just indulge in all the filth of sin and the body's going to die and go back to dust and the soul's still preserved and it's going to go up. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's not going to happen that way. The Scripture says we're going to give an account of the deeds in this body. And we're going to have to present this body as a living sacrifice to God that is holy and acceptable before Him. The Jews, when they presented offerings to the priests for a sacrifice, they had to bring the very best, didn't they? Nothing blemished, nothing diseased, nothing that was subpar was acceptable to God. And when they presented those sacrifices, those offerings to the priests as a sacrifice to offer to God, that sacrifice was slain, that offering was, and that blood was offered on the altar as a sacrifice to God. They couldn't do what the Apostle Paul was beseeching the people here and what I'm begging of us this morning. They couldn't present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, because they had sin in their life. And God, dear ones, will not accept sin. It's a blemish that He will not accept. And so they had to take and bring a lamb, innocent lamb, or some other type of animal that God had approved to offer as a sacrifice for their sins. But I'm reminded of the Scripture there in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, I believe it is, in the 4th verse. The Apostle Paul said, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin." It wasn't possible for that blood to take away those sins. It was a type of the blood of Christ that was shed for mankind. And yet, when the Jews took and they offered their sacrifices to God, in obedience to His Word, God accepted those sacrifices because it was the best that they could do. But oh, dear ones, this morning, we have a much better sacrifice. I want to go over here to Hebrews in the 9th chapter for just a moment. The Apostle Paul, you pray for me. The Apostle Paul said here in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, the 11th verse, Hebrews 9 and 11, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once in the holy place, and having obtained eternal redemption for us, For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It was not possible, dear ones, for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Man sinned, and man had to pay the price for his sins. God tried in the very beginning to warn Adam of the Eve of this before they ever made their choice. And dear ones, he has tried all down through the scriptures to warn man that the penalty for sin is death. But you know what? The enemy is still trying to convince people that it won't matter, that it's okay. But dear ones, it matters. It has always mattered to God. Sin has never been acceptable before God, and it never will be. I look at this, the Apostle Paul and this whole book of Hebrews and his letter to them, he tried his best to help man to understand that the law was given to reveal to man the awfulness of sin and his need of a cleansing. When I look at this 22nd verse, he said, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of these things in heavens should be purified with things, but the heavenly things themselves with the better sacrifice than these." Oh, dear ones, we have a much better sacrifice this morning. We have a sacrifice that is acceptable before God because the blood of Christ is able to cleanse you and I from all sin. It doesn't just cover part of it. It cleanses us. It washes it away by the blood of Christ. And dear ones, we have a much better sacrifice, and God accepts that. But my burden this morning is that we not take it for granted. Because I want to notice what the Apostle Paul went on, and he told him here in this 10th chapter. He said here in the 10th chapter in the 26th verse, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of a judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." The Apostle Paul here was instructing the Jews that once they came to the knowledge of the truth, the understanding that Christ came to die for their sins and to deliver them from the power and the bondage of sin, that once they came to that understanding, if they sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Now, what he wasn't saying that if you get saved and you backslide that you can't get saved again. That's not what he's talking about. What he was trying to tell them, and I want to stop here for just a minute. Notice he said willfully. Do you know that people in our world have taken and tried by the workings of the enemy to convince people that every mistake, every failure, everything that is not right is sin, and you're guilty of it, regardless of whether you understood the depths of it or not. And dear ones, I'm going to tell you that's a lie of Satan.
Amen.
And there's a reason for that. Because when you look at that, when man begins to think that sin is just any little thing and I can't help it, then no one can live free from sin.
That's right.
But I'm going to tell you, that's not what God required.
Amen.
He said, "He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Sin is the willful transgression of the law.
Yes.
Dear ones, the reason that a newborn innocent child that still has that Adamic nature is not held accountable for that is because they don't understand that at all. And God does not hold them accountable until they come to an understanding of what is happening. There's a lot more could be said there, but the enemy is really trying to confuse things in people's mind. But what the apostle was doing was trying to warn them not to fall back into the same rut that they were in. They would go out and do things that they knew were wrong, and then they'd go and offer up a sacrifice for their sins, knowing that what they were doing was sinning, and then they'd offer a sacrifice for that. The apostle Paul warned them not to fall into that rut. He wanted them to recognize that while once God accepted those sacrifices, when they came to the knowledge
of salvation, when they came to the understanding that Christ came for the purpose of delivering them from the power and the bondage of sin, God no longer accepted those sacrifices anymore. Because now man had something that was much better available to him. Before, that's all they had. But now God had provided something. The blood of Christ made it possible for man to be cleansed from sin, delivered from its bondage, and it made it possible for him to live a life that is holy and acceptable before God. And that, dear ones, is why the Apostle Paul back over here in Romans was taking and encouraging and exhorting them to take and present their bodies a living sacrifice. He said, it is your reasonable service. Dear ones, God now required something more since He had sent His Son to pay the price for sin and to deliver man from the bondage of sin. When you look at this, Satan has tried to do away with what Christ came and paid the price for. But dear ones, regardless of what Satan may try to tell you, regardless of what the world may try to convince you, sin is never acceptable before God in a person's life. Amen. It never has been and it never will be. Sin is something that the enemy is working on to contaminate man's soul. The devil has, unfortunately, convinced, it seems like, and I'll put it this way, the majority of people in our world that you cannot live free from sin. And dear ones, that is the reason that they do not feel the need to live a holy life. That is the reason why there is not more carefulness in people's lives about accepting the things of this world into their lives that they're going to take and appear before God with. Is because the enemy has convinced souls that you cannot live free from sin. But I want to tell you, dear ones, it's a lie, the enemy.
That's right.
The Apostle Paul goes on in this second verse and he said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I wrote down in my Bible some time back the definition of conform. And it says to make or be like, agree, to be in harmony, to obey customs or standards. Dear ones, there's a reason this morning why the true saints of God will not conform to the customs, the standards, the fads, the fashions, the pride, and all the other things that our world has to offer. There's a reason this morning, dear ones, why the true church of God cannot be in harmony with all the other denominations and all the other religious movements that are out there.
That's right.
It's because we're going to stand before a great and a mighty God. I know I've heard the argument many times. All of the Christian churches need to just lay down their differences. And they all need to come together. Because ultimately our whole goal is to help souls make heaven. And while I will agree that is a very worthy cause, and I will agree that it's very urgent because there's souls that are going out into eternity every day, every moment. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we better be very careful. Because if it requires you and I to lower the standard of holiness one notch, it's not worth it. You might say, Brother Curtis, you mean you wouldn't lower your standard of holiness one notch to be able to save a soul? Dear ones, I'm going to tell you, if it was my standard of holiness, I would say yes. But it's not. It's God's standard. And dear ones, every one of us are going to take and appear before the God of heaven. It's very obvious. People are going out into eternity every day. But dear ones, we all shortly, regardless of the length of time, shortly every one of us are going to appear before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's not going to matter in that day what I think or anyone else thinks. It's not really going to matter how worthy the cause or how urgent the need. What's going to matter, dear ones,
is if you and I are acceptable before the King. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the only way that you and I are going to be acceptable before the King of Kings, a just and a holy God, is if the blood of Christ has cleansed us from all sin. Not part of it. If the blood of Christ has cleansed us from all sin, and you and I have presented our bodies to Him as a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable before God. My burden this morning,
Lord, help.
Is Lord, help us to present ourselves in a manner that is acceptable before God. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. I wrote the word, the definition of transformed down. And it says to change the form of, to change in outward shape or appearance, to change in structure, composition, nature, disposition, or the like. Dear ones, salvation is going to make a change in our lives. It's going to change us on the inside and it's going to change us on the outside. It's going to change everything that Satan has put his finger on and said, that's mine. Everything that Satan offers to you and I, salvation is going to cause us to lay that aside. Because salvation will take and transform us, make us a new creature in Christ Jesus. We're not doing the old things that the old man did now. We don't have that desire because now our desire is to be renewed in the spirit of our mind and have the mind of Christ. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Dear ones, this morning, I believe the Lord, not me, I believe the Lord wants to entreat us. He wants to beg of us to present ourselves to Him, before Him in a manner that is acceptable to Him. It's not His will that a single soul in here should perish. Dear ones, I believe God has been faithful in this meeting, and His purpose is to prepare us for that time. Individually and collectively as a church, to be prepared to stand before His coming. To be prepared to stand in the presence of a great and a mighty and a holy God. Dear ones, the enemy is working hard to convince souls today to accept something less than what Christ came and paid the price for. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it will also be something less than what God is expecting when we stand before Him. Jesus paid the price for a complete salvation, complete deliverance from sin. Jesus paid the price for you and I to be made a new creature. To where we don't go and do the things that we know we shouldn't and then try to offer sacrifices. He came to bring something so much better. Jesus loved us enough that He gave His all for us. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God loves us. He loves us enough that He sent His Son to be able to purchase our souls out of the hand of the enemy that is wanting to destroy us. And dear ones, the Lord is not going to accept anything less than what He has already purchased by His blood. When we stand before the Lord, God is going to look and He's going to search our heart. The books are going to be open, and every deed, every action, everything that has consisted in our lives are going to be presented before Him. And a just and a holy God is going to look at that according to the provision of the blood of Christ that made it possible for you and I to have all those things of sin cleansed out. If there's one spot of imperfection, we're going to be rejected by God. That's why my burden this morning is to plead with you, to beg you. As the Apostle Paul said, I beseech you.
that you present your bodies before God, a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable before Him. Dear ones, it's not going to matter what I think. It's not going to matter what anyone else thinks. What's going to matter is if we're acceptable before God. He has given us of His Word. And dear ones, I want to encourage us this morning to do as Queen Esther did and not take it lightly. Not just take and accept anything that this world has to offer you and then run before the Lord. But I want to challenge you this morning to do as she did. Begin to fast and pray. If there's things that you've heard in this meeting that you don't understand, I want to challenge you to fall before the Lord. Find your place. Fall before the Lord and say, Lord, you see what has been offered to me. I'm going to stand before you, and Lord, I beg of you that you would reveal something in your Word by your Spirit that would help me to know what you're expecting of me. Because, Father, I want to be found acceptable in your sight. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I believe with all my heart that if you and I will have that attitude of heart, I believe if you and I will take and spend more time fasting and praying before the Lord, seeking the Lord, Lord, what is your will? I am confident that you and I will be able to understand how to present our bodies a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable before God. And that when we go out of here, we can stand before the Lord and He can open the books and He can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Dear ones, that's my burden this morning. It's not mine, but it's the Lord's. And I want to entreat you this morning. If there's things that you have allowed the world to cause you to accept lightly, if you've been listening to the enemy and his reasonings in your mind and he has convinced you to accept things, I want to challenge you this morning to stop and consider what it's going to be like when I, by myself, stand before that great and holy God. Am I going to be acceptable in His sight? That's something that's worthwhile, I believe, for each one of us to do this morning. Because, dear ones, we're individually going to stand before the Lord and we're going to give account. And my desire this morning is I want to be found acceptable. But I also want every soul that's here to be found acceptable in His sight. I don't want the enemy to be able to reason a single soul out of their eternal destiny with Christ. The Lord loves every one of us, and He's pleading with us to begin to examine our hearts. May the Lord bless you this morning.